So just it was just probably, I don't know, 5-6 months ago, you know, we had been talking, you decided to take a look at the data that I was making this documentary around. So let's just go back to that moment. Like when you really sort of looked at, like, I provided you the Thompson data, you were looking at it. I didn't know you were pregnant at the time. So right. Tell me about that. Like, you know, you had this yeah. sort of secret going on, mm-hmm. and you're looking at this information. What was that like as a?
Yeah. You know, I think as being a family practice physician and, you know, just being a black woman and at the time being pregnant, I think it's difficult because, you know, you're constantly bombarded with things that could potentially indicate that things weren't right with vaccines, you know. So through medical school, through becoming a physician, and I've really kind of just kept them at the fringe of my thought process. But honestly, you know, once you get pregnant, you can no longer do that. I remember when my sister was pregnant and she had her child, she was asking me questions about what I thought about certain vaccines. And I really didn't have the information at the time to make an educated decision one way or another. And it was interesting because you kind of forced me to do that. You know, you're like, well, Rachel, would you mind taking a look at this? And I'm like, no, of course not. I'll take a look. But when I read it and really digested and read it over and over again, and I remember when Dr. Thompson first came forward, and I remember reading a blurb of it on these, I think it was the Associated Press, and it was just kind of mentioned and went away. And I remember at the time trying to get people interested, see what everybody else was thinking. And honestly, I just kind of pushed it off to the side, which I think is easy as a family practice doctor because, I mean, to have that type of knowledge sitting in your head, now you have to figure out what to do with it. And I think when you gave me the data and I was forced to read through it and look at it, I had to emotionally, you know, deal with it. I had to deal with the fact that potentially, who knows how many vaccines I have ordered throughout this whole process of being a physician, all the way from medical school to being a resident to being an attending. You know, how many people have I vaccinated along the way? But now they have to deal with it in terms of, am I going to vaccinate my own daughter, with particularly the studies about the MMR vaccine? But what it does to me is open up the whole thought process of, this is just one of the vaccines. What are the other... What's going on with the other 6 million that I'm supposed to actually give my daughter? So at that time, I looked at the data and I decided that it just wasn't going to be the right decision for my daughter, and that I was going to be one of those people that delayed vaccinations. Now, delaying vaccinations means that at some point I'm going to revisit this idea and decide whether or not this is something I'm going to do. But at this point, just reading through the data and talking to families whose loved ones have been injured by vaccines, I'm just not sure. I just need more answers. And so when she was born, you know, I filled out all the paperwork ahead of time. I let all the nurses know. I said, she's not getting any vaccines while we were in the hospital. You know, I almost had, you know, like security camped out, like, don't take my baby and we're not getting any vaccines here, because as a family practitioner, as an African-American mom, I need more answers. I need more than just spoon feeding me that these vaccines are okay when the data is suggesting otherwise. So now that she's here and she hasn't had any vaccines, I mean, you know, I'm a spiritual person and I'm a medical, Western-trained medical practitioner. So it's really hard for me to say, you know, every parent thinks that their daughter is more advanced than the next. But honestly, since she's been here, if one more person tells me she's so advanced for her age, she's doing this, she's doing that, way before everybody else's kids, then, you know, I have to step back, and instead of patting myself on the back for having good, strong DNA, I have to wonder, is it because I haven't given her a vaccine, and here she is 2 months into it, so she should be going to get her second set of vaccines now, and she hasn't, and she's doing fantastic, and I don't know, you know, but all I can say is that for me and for my family, my mom, you know, if she giving all of my family members, you know, we're a medical family. My brother's a doctor, my father's a doctor, my sister's a doctor, you know, my other sister's an orthodontist, my mom's been in the family business, watching us all, and she's just, after, I'm telling you, after talking to some of these parents, and after seeing the data, and after seeing their stories, and reliving them, and going to bed, and having to rethink of them, meeting Polly, I'm flabbergasted that there isn't a national cry, an outcry for more answers. There isn't a national outcry for, where is this Dr. Thompson? How can we talk to him? How can we hear in person what really happened and what really went down? And why there isn't more of an outcry about vaccine injuries? You know, and as I'm speaking to my colleagues, what's interesting to me is that a lot of us don't even realize that there is an there's a government institution set up to compensate for people for vaccine injuries. So I'm tired of hearing other practitioners say vaccines never hurt anybody, because it's proven that they do hurt people. But my question is, how many people have they really hurt? And how many people will continue to get hurt by them before there's a huge outcry for change and investigation and answers?
Would you have made this vaccination choice you made with your child had I not handed you this data? And, you know, is that what it takes? Does someone have to hand you something like that to get someone over the hump? I'm not trying to take credit. I'm just curious.
Yeah, you know, no. Because as much as I'm a physician and I'm an educated person and I'm a mom, I watch TV and I'm on Facebook. And I think television and Facebook and everything else does a really good job of making you feel like if you don't vaccinate your kids, not only are you going to hell, but your kids are too. They're going to catch every disease known to man. So really, this has been a re-education process for me, relearning everything that I thought I knew about vaccinations, what I thought I knew about disease, and just kind of looking at it logically and looking at the data. I mean, and the data's not complicated. It's right there in your face. I mean, and I think, you know, your documentary does a really good job of breaking down something that could really be complicated and making it simple. And I think that that's what's going to make the difference between this particular documentary and some of the past ones, because it's understandable. It's like, I get it. Everyone who I know that's seen it is like, oh, I get it. So it doesn't leave any questions. I wouldn't have felt as good about it. If I had made that decision without looking at that data, I don't think I would feel as good about it. I wouldn't feel as strong about it. I wouldn't feel as comfortable sitting here in front of the camera and talking about it. So I think that's the difference. And I can't honestly say I would have made that decision. I think the information that you gave me really kind of helped nudge me to that.
When you think of your baby right now, I mean, you see hundreds, thousands of babies over your career. So you have this sort of standard of what a baby is.
Yes.
Is there anything about your child that you just thought, this is a different type of baby?
Yeah. And, you know, so two things with Rebecca, is her name, Rebecca Story. Two things about her is that, first of all, you know, we did a natural birth. It was in a hospital setting, and I had, you know, because I'm still a medically trained physician, so I have a lot of fear around certain things. So it was in the hospital, it was a natural birth, no vaccinations, she hasn't, and honestly, you know, she's raising her head and looking around, and she's her tactile strength, she's putting things to her mouth. I mean, she's only 8 weeks and she's been doing this. Her social smile started about 2 or 3 weeks before the average child's social smile. And honestly, you know, I have a lot of friends who have boys, and particularly African-American friends who have boys, and to watch them struggling now, they're 2 and 3 and they're not speaking, and, you know, we're blaming it on this and we're blaming it on that, and I can't help but get goosebumps and wonder if maybe they have vaccination injuries and the parents don't realize it. And these are, some of these people that I'm talking about are physicians just like me. They're classmates of mine. So it's really tough. And then, you know, you almost feel a sense of guilt talking about how healthy your baby seems right now. because you're comparing and talking to some people who have had vaccine-related injuries or, you know, some other issue that goes awry in there. And so, you know, I'm really proud of the fact that she's doing really well, but honestly, there's a little bit of guilt there, because it's kind of like, well, you know, what sets my baby apart from anyone else's? Well, the only thing that I could say, you know, I was higher risk because I'm over the age of 35 when I had her. The only thing that I can point to is the fact that she hasn't had the vaccine that some of my colleagues and friends' children have had. So,
no skin issues, no, I mean,
no,
like you see,
skin,
you
issue,
know.
No eczema, no, nothing. She doesn't even have reflux, you know. Yeah, no, none of that.
What are your thoughts now as a doctor, like moving forward? You know what I mean? I know you're a researcher. Like, are you thinking about how you're going to practice in the future and how this might change that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking about two things. I'm thinking about how can I help the average person get hold of this information in the same way that I have. How can we continue the dialogue and have it touch enough people, particularly practitioners, to the point where they start asking the questions too? So that's the first thing that's kind of changed about it. But maybe the second thing is that, and I've started doing this, I start the conversation with what I'm doing with my baby. And I think my patients recognize the fact that I care about them as if they're part of my family, and that's the main reason I'm giving them that information. Then we can talk about data, but I think particularly for my patient base, my core group, because, you know, our slogan is our family serving your family, is that I think they're a little interested in what I'm doing. And so I'm starting there with the conversation. Now, 5 years from now, you know, I'm saying right now that I still order the vaccines if that's what the patient wants. But 5 years from now, if the answers continue to be like they are now, and we still haven't had any safer vaccines, and there's still this whole issue of why no one's talking about this, why we haven't had any change, then 5 years from now, who knows, I might have had to just bow out of this completely and not giving any vaccines. But right now, I'm still just trying to educate and letting the patients decide if this is something that's right for their family. But who knows where that's going.
And lastly, are you worried about speaking out right now? What the Medical Association, I mean, AAP, I mean, there's a lot of...
Am I worried about it? You know, to me, as long as my family and my core group that supports me every day, that loves me, feels like I'm doing the right thing, and as long as I can sleep at night and know that I'm doing the right thing, then the fear part doesn't really bother me. Because, you know, to be on the right side of things to me is way more important than how the academies are viewing me, because I think at the end of the day, I think that your documentary, along with the noise that people are making all over the world about it, I honestly think the change is coming. Because I can't see that once people recognize the fact that millions of kids have potentially been damaged by the carelessness of the vaccine industry, I refuse to believe that that's not going to be impetus enough to really cause change. So at this point, I don't feel like I have anything to be afraid of. So.
Great. Ian, you want to hop in here?
I do.
This wants to...
Yeah.
Rachel, I just have a couple of questions. And please be completely candid. Dr. Rachel Ross, what a great pleasure it is to meet you, and this is the second time we've met, and... first time I ever saw you was on camera, and it was a very, very important, very moving moment for me. The moment that Del Bigtree said to you, I want you to look at this, and then I want you to get involved in a documentary that is being directed by Andy Wakefield, how was that moment for you?
Well, you know, it's interesting, because you know, I'm classically trained, I'm Western medicine, so, I mean, you know, your name has been associated with vaccine injuries for years, but I think the powers that be did a good job of making it seem like, you know, kind of vilifying you about it. I've had friends tell me, you know, Rachel, you can't listen to all that. It's been debunked. That stuff's made up. You can't, you know, so for me, it was kind of a mixed emotions type of thing. You know, I was kind of talking to Del Bigtree, and I basically was like, sure, I'll take a look at it. We'll see. You know, I was kind of thinking, no promises. Who knows where this is going? And so honestly, I was just approaching it with a pretty open mind, you know, and just a mild case of bias. Mild case of bias because I know that historically speaking, you know, stuff that's associated with health may not always be healthy. And from the perspective of just having been a part of the general public that had heard your name before and associated it with scandal.
And what made you overcome that clear sort of threat, that clear divide between you and your colleagues?
Yeah.
Because that was inevitable.
That was. You know what, you know, really honestly what it was, is because I think it was just so blatant, just reading the transcripts, seeing what Dr. Thompson said, you know, him coming forward and be brave enough to just really feel bad about the work that he'd done. And, you know, the piece about it being about African-American boys and the MMR vaccine, I mean, I think that's really what put me over the edge. Because, I mean, I sit here as an African-American woman, I'm an African-American doctor, 90% of my patients are African-American, and the whole concept that here this data is and this has come forward, and no one had really thrown it in my face. No one's really angry about it. Nobody had really done much about it. And here it is. Dell presents me with this data, and it is so blatant and so over-the-top ridiculous that I couldn't believe that there hadn't been any noise made about it. And, you know, I'm just one person. I'm just reading this, and I was just speechless. So that's the part that's pushed me over the edge. Pushing me a little further over the edge was going online and YouTubing and watching some of the parents talk about their kids and the changes that happened to them almost, some of them almost the night of the vaccine, some of them 2 weeks later, some of them a few days later. That was unbelievable.
One of these things about the story that's always perplexed me is that, as you know, Marsha Lynn Yergin Alsop is herself an African-American woman. Her father was a personal friend, apparently, of Martin Luther King Jr. And yet she was part of this fraud, which was inevitably going to put thousands, tens of thousands of her own people in harm's way. And I often wonder how she will ever come to terms with that. Is that something that you've thought about? Is that something that's crossed your mind?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know how you can't possibly think about that. And, you know, it's funny that you asked me that, because I even went and Googled images of her and just tried to look at video to see, because I just had to see who this person was. Because, you know, this is all very new to me. You know, I'd never studied vaccination injuries. I'd never really even thought about this to this extent. But honestly, yeah, I really did have to look and see, you know, how could somebody cook the data in quite this way and then stay at the organization after the data was cooked. So yeah, that's been a little moment for me. But I also recognize too that historically speaking, worldwide, you know, it's oftentimes someone within the culture that sells the culture out. So I'm not surprised. But, you know, that does kind of hurt. So I recognize that I could never be like that. You know, once the door is open, the floodgates are open, and I know that, I have to move forward in the direction of pushing the information out there. I can't just suppress it and act like it doesn't exist, because it absolutely does.
And what's it going to take to get your brother to come and see you?
To come and see, you know? I've been thinking about this, and I think in order to get my brother to see the potential in this, it's the same thing that it's gonna take for the world to see it. It's really more stories. Because honestly, you know, as physician, you know this. What do? You ask mom, well, how's your child doing? Have you noticed anything different? Mom sit and they look at their fingers and their toes and they watch them breathe. So of course, these moms and these fathers aren't making up what they're seeing. And I think that in order for the culture to kind of change around this vaccine topic, is they've got to hear these stories. They've got to meet Polly and hear her story. I mean, honestly, when I saw Polly and Sheila in the documentaries, I mean, that really, I mean, it hurts. And for my mom, I didn't have to give her any data. All I had to do is show her Polly's story and show her Sheila's story. And I think that that has completely changed a woman who was like, you get vaccinated because that's what you do. It saves lives. You know, she's rattling off all these things, and now she's like, Rachel, you're doing the right thing. You get to that convention. What time does it start? You've got to speak out.
Rachel, one last question. One last note point. Mm-hmm. Actually, what is your brother's name?
Nathaniel. Dr. Nathaniel.
Okay,
Ross.
Nathaniel. This is for you, Nathaniel. Here's the deal. I want you to go home and say to Nathaniel that Andy Wakefield, I will give him $1,000 to go and see Vaxxed. And if he promises me that he is the same person coming out of the film as he was going in, he can keep the $1,000.
Okay.
Please, would you do that?
I will 100% do that.
Okay. Because I think I'll keep my $1,000.
I think you will too.
Rachel, it's a great pleasure.
No, the pleasure is all mine.
It's such an honor to meet you. Thank you.
Vice versa. Thank you.